So he came out of the military, rushed off to get a job. He had this whole list of things that he was going to do. And he'd always held jobs from the time he was 16. And all of a sudden, he couldn't keep a job. He couldn't get his life together. And things fell apart for John so much that he had to come up and live with mom, which was really hard for a big macho Marine who'd, led men in combat and made split-second decisions and done all the things that he had done to have to go live with mom. So he came up, enrolled in school, and our lives just fell to pieces here. It was unbearable to see what happened. He would literally almost black out. I mean, except that he was conscious, but he was like, you could just see almost a chemical change in him. There would be this thing, and one day on Christmas Day, he had his brother on the floor with his arms and hands around his neck, and I couldn't get him off, and I was looking for something to hit him with to get him off. And can you imagine having to choose between your children like that? I mean, it was. Anyway, he came out of it on his own. He brought himself out, and I would just throw everybody in the car when he would have an episode, and we'd just leave for 2 or 3 hours and go sit in a field somewhere, just wait. And I had some friends who were physicians willing to diagnose him and write prescriptions for him while we were getting him in through the VA thing. And that transition is not seamless. People don't know that you don't just go from the DOD to the VA. And the burden for entering the VA system falls entirely on the veteran. So here's a kid who could barely function, and he's typical of these people who've been in these high-stress combat situations coming home. And unless they get themselves into the VA, there's no help. So for the 3 or 4 months that it took us to help him wind through that process, all the medications that, it all came out of our pocket, and they don't reimburse you. So military families are screwed in a budgetary manner is what I'm talking about. But anyway, we got him on medication, and the medication, takes weeks to build up and actually start to work. And during that process, he really punished us. I mean, we suffered. I sent my girls down to live with their father because it was not safe for them. There were many times when I was on the verge of calling the police when I didn't dare because I just knew they'd just shoot him. And I just couldn't, And I almost lost my house. We actually joke about it now at times, but there is something, I refer to it as present traumatic stress disorder. I told him, you have post, but I've got the present, and he went to school, was actually doing pretty well at school, and then he was given a med change, and the med change, he literally couldn't get up to go to his finals. I mean, he just couldn't get that to work and failed essentially most of his classes as a consequence of that. And then the GI Bill wanted all the money back because you have to maintain this thing. And So, you know, it was just one, you know, financial catastrophe after another. In the process of that, I was able to talk him into going to the Roseburg VA. And they have a spectacularly wonderful inpatient treatment for PTSD. So the local psychiatrist at the clinic, who's a great guy, supported that. And we got John in, and he spent 3 months in the hospital beginning in February this year. And it's turned everything around for him. I mean, it's still a huge problem, but he finally understands a lot of what's happened to him. And more importantly, he made a statement to me about 2 weeks after he'd been there. I went to visit him, and he said, "I'm learning to love myself again." And that was a pretty powerful statement to hear from him, and all the hell and the broken doors and the broken everything's in my poor little house. And it meant a lot to hear that. But it's just a process, and I don't know if he would have been willing to go in earlier than he went in, but he did, and now he's so grateful that he went, and he plans to go again. He was able to share some more of his experiences in Iraq with me during that time, and I met some of the people that were in the treatment with him, and you know, these guys carry that burden with them forever. It's, you know, it's so sad, and they really do need to have an opportunity to tell their story and get it out. And so I think they were good at doing that for John. They showed him, you know, the physiological damage that he'd suffered. I don't know if you know that with PTSD, the hippocampi shrink and it's permanent. So PTSD, the physiological damage to the brain caused by continued high levels of stress hormones is permanent. It's irreversible. But it's not untreatable. So they can learn to reroute their brains. You know, a lot of thinking and focus happens in the hippocampi, which is one of the reasons that they can't think and focus. They just react. So he's working to train himself to respond rather than react. He's going to school again, and he's doing much better. He's learning to manage the meds. He takes 3 meds, primary meds, and then 2 meds for each of those to counteract the side effects. When he got out of the military, he was having a nightmare once or twice a month. When he came to live with us, he was having a nightmare once or twice a week. Within a few months, even after being on medication, he was having nightmares 2 or 3 times a night. And of course, the whole household had them with him because, you know, he would be shrieking. And so one of the medications he takes is to help curb the nightmares. He has, you know, traumatic brain injury also because of all of the IEDs. He also has been diagnosed as having attention deficit disorder, which he did not have prior. So he takes Ritalin methylphenidate for that. And then he has to take a couple of things to counteract those side effects. And then, of course, he takes something for this free-floating anxiety, which is typical of PTSD. And so for a young man trying to go to school and go to work and to manage them so that you can keep them balanced in time so that you don't have a failure at some point is quite a process. And he is doing much better after spending that time in Roseburg. And, you know, I think now it's two steps forward and one step back instead of the other way around. And this psychiatrist at the VA had said that there can be post-traumatic growth. And I believe that's true. So I have to caution my own concerns about my longing for who he was. And accept that this, you know, I have to accept this new person that's emerging from the ashes, but I'm optimistic now as I talk with him and see him and how hard he's trying, just how hard he wants to be normal. And I realize that while he will, you know, he'll be the same, he will still be wonderful. And I just wish more moms knew what they're sending their babies off to do. Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be warriors.